Imagine building a machine that processes like hundreds of billions of dollars. It creates an entirely new financial vocabulary, and it runs flawlessly for 11 years without a single hack.
Which is unheard of in crypto.
Right. But now imagine just turning that machine off forever. Not because it's broken, not because it ran out of money, but basically because the creators flew way too close to the sun.
Yeah, the Icarus of the digital age.
Exactly. So welcome to July 23, 2026. If you have been paying any attention to the financial markets today, you know the crypto world has just been hit by a massive earthquake.
A total seismic shift.
The empire known as BitMEX has just announced it is permanently pulling the plug.
We are looking at the sudden end of an absolute titan here. I mean, they shaped the entire landscape of modern digital finance.
They really did. And for today's deep dive, we're pulling from some breaking source material. It's an article titled "End of an Empire: Why Legendary Crypto Exchange BitMEX is Shutting Down After 11 Years."
It's a fantastic piece.
It is. And our mission today is to unpack how a single platform basically invented the modern cryptocurrency market, fueled a culture of unimaginable financial leverage, and ultimately burned itself to the ground.
All by trying to outrun international law.
Right.
Because to truly understand the future of digital finance, you know, where we are heading next, you absolutely must understand the tragedy of
Oh,
BitMEX.
sure.
It's the ultimate case study of what happens when unstoppable technological innovation collides with the immovable object of global regulation.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because the news literally just broke today and the details are intense.
Very intense.
BitMEX is permanently closing its doors on September 23, 2026 at exactly Euro 4.000 UTC. And they aren't slowly winding things down either.
No, not at all.
Registrations are halted immediately. But what's really wild to me is that they explicitly state this isn't a hack. It's not a bankruptcy.
Right, they aren't out of money.
They're calling it the result of a deep strategic review. It's like an exclusive underground nightclub suddenly turning on the harsh fluorescent lights and telling everyone to grab their coats.
That's a great way to put it.
But they aren't just stopping the music. They are physically forcing you out specific exits because the front door is jammed. I mean, if they aren't broke, why pull the plug so abruptly?
What's fascinating here is that this isn't a collapse in the traditional sense, you know? It is a surrender.
A surrender.
Yeah. It marks the absolute victory of regulated, compliant trading models over the old Wild West era of crypto. And for the users still on the platform, this transition is going to be incredibly rigid.
Because right now, BitMEX is enforcing dynamic withdrawal limits based on account tiers, right?
Yes, exactly.
But why restrict the exits if they actually have the funds? Doesn't that just cause a panic?
It does, but it's a mechanical necessity. Keeping massive amounts of cryptocurrency in a hot wallet, meaning it's connected to the internet for instant transfers, is a massive security risk.
Oh, right, because of hackers.
Exactly. So BitMEX historically keeps the vast majority of user funds in deep freeze cold storage totally offline.
Okay, so a sudden bank run literally drains their online reserves faster than they can physically thaw out the cold funds?
Precisely. Because thawing those funds requires human executives to manually sign off on transactions. They are throttling withdrawals just to protect their own architecture from crashing under the weight of everyone rushing for the exit.
That makes sense. And that explains why they are basically forcing users to withdraw using specific network addresses like SegWit or native SegWit.
Right.
For you listening, those are just highly optimized, space-saving Bitcoin address formats. BitMEX is mandating them just to prevent a massive traffic jam on the blockchain.
Which is smart on their part.
But what about the traders who are still actively in the market? I read that if you have any open trades when that September deadline strikes, the system is just going to ruthlessly cancel every single open order.
Every single one. Limit orders, stop losses, all of it just wiped.
That is brutal. And institutions only get a 30-day window to download their transaction logs for the tax authorities. After that, complete darkness.
Which is a terrifying prospect if you are an algorithmic trader or, you know, just caught asleep at the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
The matching engine will just force close your position at whatever the market price happens to be at exactly 04.000 UTC. It is a harsh mechanical end to a platform that was built on harsh mechanical efficiency.
So, to really grasp why this closure is such a historical turning point for you, the listener, we have to wind the clock backward a bit.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah, let's go to 2014. We need to look at the financial plumbing that BitMEX built because it's plumbing that literally everyone in crypto uses today.
Absolutely everyone.
Back then, we were just coming out of the Mt. Gox era, Trading crypto was basically gambling in a sketchy internet casino.
It really was.
But the founders of BitMEX weren't your typical basement hackers, were they?
Not at all. They were traditional finance or TradFi veterans. They came straight from Wall Street. When they looked at the crypto market in 2014, they didn't see a casino. They saw a massive gaping void.
Because there were no professional tools.
Exactly. There were absolutely no professional-grade derivative instruments for complex hedging or, you know, advanced speculation.
So they just brought Wall Street to the blockchain.
They did.
But they didn't just copy traditional futures contracts. They invented something entirely new. The perpetual swap. Specifically, the XBT-USD contract.
A total game changer.
And here's where it gets really interesting. A traditional futures contract, like, say, a farmer selling wheat on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, has a strict deadline, a settlement date.
Right.
But a perpetual swap is like being able to bet on a horse race that never actually finishes, just as long as you keep paying for your seat in the grandstand.
That is a perfect analogy, because in legacy markets, expiration dates are entirely logical.
Sure.
An airline needs to lock in jet fuel prices for a specific month, and when that month arrives, the contract settles.
They need the actual fuel.
Right. But crypto speculators, they don't want the actual Bitcoin most of the time, and they certainly don't want to deal with the mechanical nuisance of rolling over contracts every quarter.
They just want to ride the extreme volatility forever.
Exactly. Okay. So by eliminating the expiration date, BitMEX created an instrument that never settles. But that creates a massive mechanical problem.
Right, because without a settlement date, how do you keep the price of this imaginary derivative contract tethered to the actual real-world price of Bitcoin?
Otherwise, it just detaches completely.
Yeah, the contract price would just float away into space based purely on trader hype. You could have the perpetual swap trading at $100,000 while actual Bitcoin is sitting at $50,000.
That is the exact dilemma they faced. And that is where their true genius came in, which is the funding rate.
The funding rate.
Yeah. They introduced a penalty, a financial heartbeat every 8 hours, where a payment is exchanged directly between the buyers, the longs, and the sellers, the shorts.
Wait, let me make sure I'm wrapping my head around this.
Go ahead.
So if I'm holding a long position, right, betting the price goes up, and the perpetual contract starts trading way above the real price of Bitcoin, I'm basically forced to bleed money every 8 hours just to keep my trade open.
Yes, you are forced to pay a hefty fee directly to the shorts.
Wow.
So suddenly, betting on the price going up becomes painfully expensive. That forces traders like you to sell your positions, which physically drags the contract price back down to reality.
It's like an automated self-correcting financial gravitational pull.
It really is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, this invention didn't just give traders a new toy.
Right.
It injected a permanent culture of extreme speculation and just terrifying risk appetite directly into the very DNA of the crypto market.
Because they didn't just stop at perpetual contracts.
Oh, no.
They introduced 100x leverage.
100x?
100 times. Let's just pause and make sure the math of that hits home for you listening. If you post just one single Bitcoin as collateral, BitMEX allowed you to trade a contract valued at 100 Bitcoin.
It's staggering leverage.
A 1% move in the right direction doubles your money.
Yeah.
But a 1% move in the wrong direction, you lose everything instantly.
And that extreme leverage gave birth to an entire cultural lexicon. The term wrecked, spelled R-E-K-T, became internet vernacular exactly because of BitMEX.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah. When the market moved against those highly overleveraged traders, BitMEX's ultra-powerful KDB plus matching engine would brutally and automatically liquidate them.
Let's talk about that engine for a second, because KDB plus isn't just standard web code, right?
Not at all. It's high-frequency trading database technology, literally used by the largest banks on Wall Street.
So it's incredibly fast.
It could process 100,000 transactions per second. So when the market dipped, this engine would mercilessly rip through the order book, liquidating thousands of accounts in fractions of a second.
It was a financial slaughterhouse built by mathematical geniuses.
Truly.
But to understand why the U.S. government ultimately stepped in to disarm this machine, you have to look at the man who had his finger on the button.
Arthur Hayes.
Arthur Hayes. He's the Wharton grad, former Citigroup, and Deutsche Bank trader, who just became an absolute cult figure.
Hayes utilized his profound understanding of macroeconomic structures to turn BitMEX into the most profitable money printing machine in the industry.
He was everywhere.
He was. And he didn't just operate in the shadows like a typical financial executive. He launched the Crypto Trader Digest, which was a newsletter where he analyzed Federal Reserve policies with a tone that was blunt, highly educated, and sometimes incredibly offensive.
He was a rock star to the day traders. But here is where I really want to push back on the conventional narrative of the shady offshore crypto exchange.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because when you look at the source material, they never had a cold wallet hack in 11
I
years.
never, not once.
And despite all the rumors in the space, the DOJ and the CFTC never actually proved that BitMEX manipulated prices against their own users with an internal trading desk.
That's right. They never proved it.
So it sounds like their fatal flaw wasn't technological incompetence or outright theft against their users. It was just sheer stubbornness and a complete refusal to respect the government's rules.
This raises a really important question about the limits of technological superiority. I mean, BitMEX's cybersecurity was immaculate. Their multi-signature cold wallets were impenetrable.
But you cannot code your way out of a legal subpoena.
Exactly. Their true crime was a total arrogant disregard for know your customer, or KYC, and anti-money laundering laws.
The hubris was just off the charts. I mean, they incorporated the Seychelles specifically to dodge the United States.
Yep.
And Hayes famously bragged in an interview that bribing government officials there to look the other way cost, and I quote, the price of a coconut.
Yeah, you do not say that on camera when the U.S. government is watching.
And they were definitely watching.
The U.S. government was indeed watching. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission and FinCEN had been quietly building a case for years. Having the best, fastest matching engine in the world is completely useless if you pick a confrontational public fight with global regulators.
And in October 2020, the lightning struck. The DOJ dropped a massive criminal indictment against Hayes and the co-founders for violating the Bank Secrecy Act.
Which changed everything.
Hayes literally had to flee. He became an internationally wanted fugitive and eventually surrendered.
The irony is just staggering. They built this impenetrable cryptographic fortress to protect against hackers, and they were ultimately defeated by paperwork and a complete lack of compliance.
Right. And Hayes pled guilty in 2022. He got 6 months of house arrest, 2 years of probation, and the company paid a historic $100 million fine.
That was the fatal blow. Not a hack, not a failure of their perpetual swap model, but the long arm of the law.
Right.
And the true tragedy of BitMEX is what happened immediately after the rebellious founders were ousted by the government.
You're talking about the failed pivot.
Yes.
They brought in a new CEO, Alexander Heppner, and he had the impossible job of trying to save a sinking ship by suddenly playing by the rules.
You could say he was trying to sell compliance to outlaws.
Seriously. He tried to strictly enforce KYC, he tried to launch spot trading, and he introduced fixed yield earn products.
But he found himself trapped in this brutal, dual-sided dilemma.
What do you mean?
Well, the moment they mandated identity verification, they triggered a massive exodus. The whales, the massive underground professional traders who provided all the liquidity demanded financial privacy, so they left.
And what about the regular users?
At the same time, a huge chunk of their user base were actually Americans who had been illegally using VPNs to mask their location.
To access the platform.
Right. When the KYC wall went up, all that liquidity vanished overnight.
So what does this all mean? It's like a notorious, lawless pirate ship suddenly trying to operate as a registered Disney cruise liner. By adding KYC, they completely lost their anarchistic charm for the underground traders. But then their user interface was still this dark, complex KDB plus engineering terminal.
Oh, it was notoriously complicated.
It looked like the cockpit of a fighter jet. It was way too intimidating for the casual retail tourist to use.
Yeah, and execution speed became their enemy here.
Yeah.
Their frantic corporate efforts to adapt to this new compliant reality were agonizingly slow compared to the broader market.
Because while they were stumbling, a new breed of aggressive, agile rivals emerged.
Right. Binance, FTX, Bybit.
And they ruthlessly copied BitMEX's homework.
They absolutely did.
They took the perpetual swap, but they stripped away the regulatory toxicity and wrapped it in a bright, gamified, intuitive user interface.
Plus, while BitMEX stubbornly only offered Bitcoin and Ethereum derivatives, competitors like Binance were listing every hot new altcoin, DeFi token, and NFT project under the sun.
They gave the people what they wanted.
Exactly. There's a brilliant quote in the sources from Dr. William Shine, a senior crypto market structure analyst.
What does he say?
He points out that BitMEX's fatal mistake was the arrogant assumption that professional, institutional traders would stay loyal simply because the underlying matching engine was powerful.
Wow.
They fundamentally underestimated the power of a user-friendly interface. Binance proved that you can create a platform that appeals to an advanced algorithmic trading bot and a total novice at the exact same time.
Wait, so they basically thought that because they had the best engine in the race, it didn't matter that the steering wheel was covered in spikes.
Precisely. They thought the tech would speak for itself, but user experience matters just as much as execution speed.
Which they learned the hard way.
BitMEX lost the whales to the KYC rules, and they lost the massive retail army to Binance's superior design and broader asset selection. They were completely hollowed out from both sides.
Which brings us to the most pressing question for the market today. If competitors have already swallowed BitMEX's market share over the last few years, what actually happens to the global cryptocurrency market when BitMEX officially unplugs its servers this coming September?
Will we see a massive crash?
Yeah, will we?
The short, definitive answer is no.
Okay, good to know.
And the reason why reveals just how much the industry has structurally evolved. If BitMEX had suffered a total server outage back in 2018, it would have triggered cascading flash crashes globally.
Because they held a virtual monopoly on price discovery, right?
Exactly.
Back then, everyone, regardless of where they were trading, was looking to the BitMEX order book to know what Bitcoin was actually worth. If BitMEX went dark, the compass was broken.
But the landscape in 2026 is entirely different. Liquidity is deeply decentralized and fragmented now.
So who is doing the heavy lifting?
It's shouldered by massive centralized corporate giants like Binance, a booming ecosystem of decentralized exchanges or DEXs, which run entirely on self-executing code rather than centralized servers, and heavily regulated traditional finance institutions like the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
So the market has grown up.
Yes. It doesn't rely on a single offshore server anymore.
Essentially, the global market absorbed BitMEX's superpower, the perpetual swap, and then completely discarded the host body once it became a legal liability.
That is the ultimate takeaway here. The financial instrument didn't die. It became the undisputed industry standard, processing hundreds of billions of dollars daily.
Incredible.
But the industry itself matured around it. The dominant exchanges of 2026 operate far more like regulated tier one investment banks than the lawless casinos of the past.
Right.
This closure, the death of BitMEX, is the inevitable heavy price of mainstream global acceptance.
It's a really somber lesson. I mean, BitMEX essentially stole the fire of extreme financial leverage from the secretive gods of Wall Street, and they democratized it.
They handed it to everyone.
They handed it over to the global masses, allowing anyone with an internet connection to trade like a hedge fund. But in an act of tragic hubris, they burned themselves to the ground in the flames of regulatory enforcement.
Though Arthur Hayes is still around, by the way.
He is. Despite the massive fines and the house arrest, he remains a highly respected macroeconomic thought leader today.
Oh, people still read his essays religiously.
They really do. But his empire is gone.
He survived the crackdown, but the era he represented, the era of the rogue, untouchable exchange, is permanently closed.
Which leaves you, the listener, with a really fascinating thought to chew on.
Oh.
Since BitMEX proved that even the most revolutionary technology cannot outrun state regulators if there's a CEO whose door can be kicked in, will the next massive leap in financial innovation have to happen completely anonymously?
That's a great question.
Will the next Arthur Hayes refuse to ever reveal their identity just to keep their creation alive?
It's the ghost of Satoshi Nakamoto all over again. If you want to build a truly unstoppable system, you can't be around to answer the subpoena.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the sources. Remember, the nightclub lights are officially on, the fluorescent bulbs are buzzing, and the party as we knew it is over. Stay curious.